Good afternoon. We serve a God today that existed yesterday. We serve a God today that existed tomorrow. Isaiah 46 and verse number 10 says, God said, I declare the end from the beginning and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done. See, when man sinned in the garden, God immediately pointed to Christ. We all know the verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. He told Satan, he said, I will put enmity, I will put warfare, I will put war between thy seed and the woman's seed. Thou shalt bruise his heel, and he shall bruise your head. See, that scripture is the main idea of the Bible. It's one story, it's just two chapters, but that is the main idea of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, or in other words, for God so loved the world that he sent his personality. He sent his attributes. He sent Jesus. He sent his humility, Matthew 9:30. He healed the blind man. He said, shh, don't tell nobody. He sent his servitude, Mark 10 and verse 45, the Son of Man, I come not to be ministered upon. I come not to be served. I come to serve. He sent his compassion when Lazarus died. He groaned in the spirit. And God cried. Luke 19:41, when Jesus saw the evilness that was done in Jerusalem, God cried. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For God so loved the world, he sent his personality. See, the world saw for the first time love that the world has never seen before. The world saw for the first time long-suffering, mercy, that they never experienced before. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 51. Luke 9 and verse number 51. Luke 9. Verse number 51. And it reads, and it came to pass, when the time was come that Jesus should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. Jesus set his face to the cross. Each step he took brought him closer to his death, but he didn't let none stop him. He took one step toward exaltation. He took another step toward restoration for man. Verse number 54, James and John jumped in his way and said, Lord, stop and command fire to destroy all your enemies. Jesus said, I come not to destroy man's life, but to save it. And he took one more step toward justification. Then Peter jumped in his way. Peter said, Lord, stop. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, get thee behind me, Satan. And he took one more step towards man, one more final step towards man's salvation. He had his eyes set on the cross. In the meanwhile, he was spit on. He was slapped. In the meanwhile, he was betrayed by his friends. He was stripped naked. And he was beaten, but he didn't let none stop him. Because he was the seed in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. His eyes were set on the cross. The title of this sermon, Set Your Eyes on the Cross. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto are ye called, because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we shall follow in his steps. See, in this journey called life, we find ourselves going over hills, going through valleys. We even come face to face with death. We might even be in the middle of a situation right now, traveling on this lonely, long road, this journey called life. But sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of situations that God never intended for us to be in. Because we have took our eyes off of the cross.
Amen.
Or maybe we let situations around us draw our attention from the cross. No, we focus on matters that seem to be of importance, but they slowly drift us away from the cross. And then we recognize that our life starts to go downhill. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 14, which will be our text. Matthew 14, verse number 22. Matthew 14, and verse number 22. Matthew 14 and verse number 22. And it reads, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him until the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was therefore. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water, on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cry out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thus, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, Peter, he stepped out of the ship. The ship was rocking by the waves, and he set his eyes on Christ, and then he began to walk on the water. His eyes were set on Christ. Verse number 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. See, the moment Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, when he saw the turmoil surrounding him, when he saw the boisterous winds that drew Peter's focus, he began to sink. See, some of us today had let the unrighteousness around us, the people who in the world, they draw our attention, say things like Trump or unjust policemen or the KKK, Democrats, Republicans. We let these things distract us to take our eyes off of the cross. People may say, hey, this country has a, we so focused and wrapped up in it, we feel that this country has a race problem. Well, I got one better. This country has a sin problem. But you know, in verse 24, the wind was tossing the sea. The waters, everything was boisterous. The wind was boisterous. The sea was being tossed. Peter should have never gotten in the water. Why did Peter get in the water? The way some of us Christians live today, the ungodliness that we practice daily, we should have never gotten in the water. Mm-hmm. We have taken our eyes off the cross and begin living like the people around us, just like in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 12. They forsook God and began to serve other gods, like the people around them. What gods are we serving today? Is it the god of riches? Just like, have you ever been fishing? You throw a worm in the water, the fish, he's focused, he's going his direction, he see that worm, he draw toward the worm. See, Satan, as we walk in this life, focus on the cross, he throw the riches at us to get our attention. Is it riches or is it the flesh? Some people, they got that itch that must be scratched, if you know what I mean. Some of us are trapped by the addictions of the flesh. Some of us have taken our eyes off the cross and have worshiped the God of self. We've taken our eyes off the cross. I remember in Genesis chapter 3, mm-hmm. Satan did tell Eve, you will be like a god, mm-hmm. the god of self. Are we worshiping the god of self? Some say, I want to follow God, I want to do right, but while nobody's looking, I'm going to do me.
All right.
Philippians 3:19 speaks of people who end is destruction. And then it also says, who God is their belly, mm-hmm. appeasing their appetites. whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They find more fun kicking it with the world or kicking it with the nations around us. Romans 12:2, be not conformed as well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we can't let the world mold us. We can't think like them. See, we used to cringe at sin. We used to be tough on it. See, but now what happened? Well, we say things like, well, the world is changing. No, the world never changed. You changed. The world has molded our thinking. See, our views toward marijuana change. Well, you can make money. I guess the taxes will be. Our views toward sex before marriage. We tell our sons, make sure you have condoms. Our views toward homosexuality. Even our speech change because we have become like the nations around us. And we begin to do what? Sink. Let's read verse number 30 again. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Then he cried, Lord, save me. Peter took his eyes off of the cross. He ended up lost. And when he had refocused himself, Jesus reached out his hand. When he set his eyes back on Jesus, things began to change. See, but God never intended for us to be lost, for us to be in those situations, for us to be smothered in sin. See, how do we get so entangled in sin? How do we end up so heartbroken? How do we get there? Why do we seem to believe life has beaten us down? We seem to believe that, you know what? God must not be with me. How do we get there? Because we took our eyes off of the cross. But Peter, he looked up to Jesus, and he said, Lord, save me. Let's read verse number 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught Peter. He stretched forth his hand and saved Peter. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daniel 9:9 reads, one of my favorite verses. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we rebelled against him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalms 103:12. See, there might be some here today that feel like Christ had forgotten about them. See, we might feel like the psalmist felt. In Psalms 69:14, he said, Lord, please save me from sinking. See, but sometimes, just like Peter felt, when he started sinking, he instantly looked to God, looked to Jesus. Sometimes life will push you in a direction where you need to be at. So you can have that contrite heart. You can look to your only help. You can look to Christ. Sometimes Jesus, he's just waiting on you to set your eyes back on the cross. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of God. Hebrews 12:2. Set your eyes on the cross. Set your eyes on the cross like Paul did. See, Christ became his mind. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. He dedicated his life to Christ. Christ became his language, 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus and him crucified. Christ became his life, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. And life, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know what? Christ even became his swag. Galatians 6:14, Paul said, if I boast, if I brag, if I toot my horn, it's in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. See, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Which means that his flesh is dead. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. He denied the God of self. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible to me, Luke 9:23. Jesus said unto his disciples, unless ye deny yourself daily, unless you deny yourself every day. That's what he said. You cannot be my disciples. When you take your eyes off of the cross, don't be surprised when your life go downhill. Don't be shocked when you take your eyes off of the cross. See, when he formed you in the belly, he knew you, just like he knew Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5. He planned out your life. Paul said in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, from the womb he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach. See, God has planned out our lives from the womb. He has equipped us with the necessary talents from the womb. See, there's work to be done. And we are the only ones that have the weaponry, that have the equipment, and qualified to accomplish the work. Jesus said, look, the harvest is plenteous. It's truly plenteous. But the labors are few. Just like, you know, if you're a farmer, you look in the field, you got a lot of, I got to pick all these tomatoes. A good harvest is plenty. Proverbs 20, verse 4 said, the slothful, the lazy man, he will not plow because it is cold. See, sometimes we got the equipment, we got everything we need, but we let laziness step in the way. It's too cold. Well, it's too hard. I can't do that. We can have a conversation at work, at least draw somebody's attention, but I ain't gonna worry about it. But let us set our eyes on the cross and take heed lest we fall. You might be here today and you might be in the world. You might be living in a ball of confusion right now and you might be pressed on every side. I'm here to tell you that there is peace in the cross. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7, there is joy in the cross. Joy that the world can't comprehend. Unspeakable joy, 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. You know, there might be a little shame in the cross. The world might, just like how they treated Jesus, they hung between two crooks. The world might try to shame you. But you know what? Jesus despised the shame. And now sits at the right hand of God. See, Jesus is at home. The way of the cross leads home. To a home in heaven. Where you can lay down all your burdens. You don't have to worry about burdens. You might even forget about them. You got too much things that we try to take around, but once you get to heaven, you'll forget all about that. You're in the eternal now. Believe in that cross. Believe in Jesus. Believe in that lifestyle of following him, and he will bless everything that I have, everything that I will to do in his name. I just continue to follow him. I will be all right. Repent, change your mind. The lifestyle that we now live, we are Christians. Let's continue to just hang on tight. Do what we can. Use our talents. We got so many of them. Let's do what we can do to cause this great cause of Christ to keep his name on high, especially in a time like today where we so tunneled in and trying to march. We out there marching with them. We need to be marching for Christ. Amen. Helping people to see, okay, the way we can fix that race problem, I'll show you Christ. Change our minds. For those who are not Christians, you can confess in front of, can you confess in front of the world that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Like, we can confess everything else. We can confess where we work at. I'm in the military. I'm this, I'm that. Can you confess the name of Jesus Christ? Before men. Christ said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. And be baptized, not to take a bath, not the filth of the flesh, but for the remission of your sins and having a clean conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3, 21. And family, let us leave here and for the rest of our lives, set our eyes on the cross. Come, while together we stand and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.